In John chapter 8, verses 37 through 31, Jesus continues an open debate with the religious leaders. The open debate started when there were a few people who believed in Jesus, and Jesus told them, "If you believe in me, then you need to do what I say." He says, "If you obey my words, then you will live forever. You will be set free if you obey my words." From that, the religious leaders took an exception to it. They said, "We are the descendants of Abraham." In other words, we are Jewish people. And you say that if we obey your word, we're okay because we are descendants of Abraham. It starts this open debate that goes all the way until verse 59. And Jesus deals with their misconceptions. That is, they think they're going to make it to heaven because they're Jewish, and God is going to show them being a genetic descendant of Abraham is not what matters, but being a spiritual descendant of Abraham is what matters. Let's think about Abraham for a moment, because this whole text is going to talk about him. So Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Christ. Abraham was the beginning of the Jewish nation. Before Abraham, no Jewish nation. After Abraham, the foundations were laid for the Jewish nation. And God said to Abraham, "You're going to have a child, and from that child is going to come descendants that number as many as the stars are in heaven and as many as the sand of the sea." But here's the crazy thing. You hear God say that to Abraham and you think, okay, well, that's great. But Abraham was 75 years old and didn't have any kids when God said to him, "Your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky." Isn't that just like God? God doesn't care about our circumstances. God gives us promises, and God will keep those promises despite our circumstances. A few more years go by. Abraham, whose name is Abram, by the way, which means father. He's going to name him Abraham or Abraham a little bit later on, but his name means father. He doesn't have any kids. A few years go by, and Abram's wife, Sarah, decides to help God out. "God hasn't done it yet. He hasn't brought me a child, so I'm going to give you my handmaiden, Hagar. Have a child for me through her." And so Abraham takes Hagar as a concubine, which was a common practice in their day, and has a son named Ishmael by them. A few more years go by. Ishmael is now a young child. God appears to Abraham and says, "Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to conceive and have a child." At this point, she's over 80 years old. Abraham is over 90 years old at this point. And God says, "You guys are going to have a kid." The Bible would later on say that Abraham didn't consider the deadness of his body anything compared to the word of God. In other words, even when God promises you something that is impossible, if you believe in it, God will bring it to pass. Isn't that amazing? And Abraham said to God, when God said, "Your wife Sarah is going to have a child," Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Let the work that we've done, I've got a son now, God, just use him." God said, "No, but it will be through a son from your wife Sarah. And from him will come a nation, and out of that nation will come a seed," singular, a descendant, one person, "who will bless all nations." You know what the Bible says then? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Abraham suddenly believed in his old age that God was going to give him a child. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appears to him with two of his angels. And he receives him, and he sits in his tent, and he sits at the porch of his tent, at the opening of his tent, and he has a meal with the Lord. And the Lord says to Abraham, and by the way, this would be Christ, because in the Old Testament, when God appeared, the Bible says, "No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son has revealed him to us." So anytime God appeared to Gideon, God appeared to Jacob, God appeared to Joshua, God appeared to Abraham. Anytime the Lord appeared to them, it was a Christophany, a Christ appearance in the Old Testament. And so the Lord appeared to Abraham, sat at his tent door, and said, "Your wife, by this time next year, your wife is going to have a son." And the Bible says that Sarah was inside of the tent eavesdropping, or tent flap dropping. And that when she heard that, she laughed. And the Lord said, why does your wife laugh? And she said from inside the tent, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, oh yeah, you laughed. Yes, she did laugh. A year later, she had a child. A 90-year-old woman had a child. And you know what they named him? Isaac. And you know what Isaac means? Laughter. There was a lot of laughter brought into that home. And from that child that was born to a 90-year-old woman, God raised up a nation that brought the Messiah. And Abraham is called the father of faith. And there's a lot of things we learn from that account. We learn that sometimes God takes us to the very end. We learn that sometimes God waits until we're 100 years old before he performs the promises that he gave us, but he will perform them. We learn that Abraham refused to look at the circumstances, the deadness of his body, and looked at the promise of God and received it by faith. And that tells us that if we can look at God and not at our circumstances, what do your circumstances say to you today? And what has God said to you today? And God will bring about the very things that he has said to you. Now that we have a little bit of an understanding of what Abraham's all about, let's listen to what Jesus has to say as he has this open debate. Let me get there, by the way, to John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 37. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say in this open debate to them. In verse 37, he says, I know that you are the descendants. You are Abraham's descendants. He acquiesces to them. I know genetically that you are Abraham's descendants. What really did that mean for them, by the way? The fact that they had Abraham, who was significant, had a relationship with God, was called a friend of God, what did that really mean to them? What does it mean to you if you can trace your ancestry to someone who is important? There's something called Ancestry.com right now, right? And you can go and you can look and see what your ancestors are. My wife can trace her lineage all the way back to the Bradford family that came over on the Mayflower. Wow, that's pretty impressive. I can trace my lineage to two horse thieves who were chased out of Ireland. I don't have any great person in my history. What does that mean for me? It means absolutely nothing. What matters for you now, and I don't want to diss on Ancestry.com, go and find the great people that lived in your life before, but it doesn't mean anything to you unless you do what you should do, unless you make an impact today, unless you have a relationship with God. And so Jesus admits to them, you are the descendants of Abraham. But then he goes on to say, you are the descendants of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen of my father, and you do what you have seen from your father. Now, what's Jesus saying? You are the descendants of Abraham, but you seek to kill me. Therefore, you are not spiritual descendants of Abraham. You are spiritual descendants of the devil. See, what matters is not whether or not I'm a physical descendant of Abraham, a genetic descendant of Abraham. What matters if I am a spiritual descendant of Abraham. And the way you become a spiritual descendant of him is to believe as he did. When you believe in God and are accounted as righteous, like Abraham believed in God and was counted as righteousness, then you are sons and daughters of Abraham. The vast majority of you guys in this room have surrendered your life to Christ. You invited Jesus in, and your life has been transformed. You, therefore, are a son, a daughter of Abraham, because you believe. Now, you might be here, and you maybe have committed your life to Christ, and you're Jewish. You are a genetic descendant of Abraham, and you are a spiritual descendant of Abraham. We are a spiritual descendant when we've committed our lives to him. If we wanted to murder Jesus like these leaders wanted to murder him, that's a revelation as to who your spiritual father is. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. He said, you want to do what your father wanted to do. They said, well, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? He believed God, and it was accredited to him righteousness. He believed God more than he believed the circumstances of his own life. That's the works of Abraham. He said, if you did the works of Abraham, then you would be his descendants, but you don't. He says in verse 40, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." They say, "We're the descendants of Abraham." He says, "If you were the descendants of Abraham, you wouldn't want to kill me, because Abraham didn't want to kill me. He received me." He says, "You do the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Now, when they make this reference, we were not born in fornication, you know what they're saying, right? This is 2.5 years into the ministry of Jesus. They know where he is from. They know the backstory of his life. That while Mary was betrothed to her husband Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But they didn't believe that she had been found with child by the Holy Spirit. They believed that he was born of fornication. And so when they say to him, "Let's talk about dads, let's talk about who your dad is. We are not born of fornication." They're making a direct slam against him. Understand, Jesus is, they insult him openly. Jesus is insulting them. He's telling them, "You're of your father, the devil." But he's not insulting them to insult them. He's making a very valid point. The devil is a murderer. You guys want to murder me. Therefore, spiritually, you are the son of the devil. That's his point. He's not just going, "You're the son of the devil." He's just not making fun of them. They fall back on making fun of him. They fall back on insulting him. Jesus responds to this insult and says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father," they said, "We have God as our father." Now they've gone from Abraham to God. "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Now I have not, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father you want to do." What's that desire? He's a murderer. They want to murder Jesus. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God." In other words, they said, "We're from God. We're religious." Again, anybody can say anything. It's not what you say that's important. It's who you are. And so if you're a religious person, it doesn't mean anything. Remember, Jesus said to religious people when they said to him, "We cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name." Think of that. People who did miracles and cast out demons. And Jesus would say to them, "Away from me, for I never knew you." Maybe you've been involved in church. Maybe you felt the presence of God. Maybe you've even been used by God. That doesn't mean you are born again. That's a misconception. They called themselves the sons of God, but it didn't mean they were the sons of God. You can be religious. Religious is just doing something over and over and over and over again for God. That doesn't mean you're born again. That doesn't mean you have eternity, because religion is dead. Religion can't save you. We're talking about a very real living relationship with Christ. That's what matters. Their first misconception, we have Abraham as our father. Their second misconception, we have God as our father. A few years ago, there was a gal at the church who we were trying to help. She was divorcing her husband, and she was marrying another man. Her marriage was in trouble, probably legitimate reasons why her marriage was in trouble, but she had decided that she no longer wanted to be married to him, and she had met somebody else. So she was divorcing her husband to marry another man. We had told her that it was wrong. When I was eating one day at Chipotle, and she was there, she came and asked if she could join me. I was eating by myself. I said, "Sure." And she sat down and she said, "I just want to say something to you. I'm spiritual," she said. I might be doing this, but I'm spiritual, and I want you to know that." And I said, "You've ruined my whole lunch." No, I said, it really did ruin my lunch. I lost my appetite. But I said, "Listen, you can say you're spiritual, but if what you do is not, then you're not spiritual. You're carnal. You can say anything you want to say. It's not about what you say. It's about who you are. That's what matters. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're of your father, the devil, because he's a murderer from the beginning, and you want to murder me. Now, how do they respond? Well, almost. Well, I mean, you can almost predict it. Verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, did we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now, they're continuing to insult him. But you understand, they're trying now to insult him publicly. This is an open, public, hostile debate that they're having with Jesus. And when they say, you are a Samaritan, what are they saying? They're saying, we know that your mom, that you were found in fornication, and that your dad is a Samaritan. Who's the Samaritans? The Samaritans were people that lived in Israel. They were half Assyrian and half Jewish. The Samaritans didn't like the Jewish people, and the Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans. They were racist. And they were racist in both directions, by the way. Neither one liked the other person. That's why when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said a priest walked on one side of the road, a Levite walked on one side of the road, but a Samaritan stopped and helped. Of all things, they thought a Samaritan would never do it. And so when they tell Jesus, do we not rightfully say that you are a Samaritan? They're saying, your dad's a Samaritan. You're not even Jewish. Didn't we rightly say you're a Samaritan and you have a demon? I love the response of Jesus. Jesus says, I do not have a demon. That's just funny. You have a demon. No, I don't. He says, but I honor my father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks to judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if you keep my word, he shall never see death. Let me read 51 again. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Look at the words most assuredly there in verse 51. 25 times in the book of John, Jesus uses those words. If you have a New King James, it says truly, truly. Excuse me, if you have a King James, it says truly, truly. You have a New King James, it says most assuredly, 25 times. Every time a significant statement follows. When they say you're a Samaritan, you have a demon, Jesus says, no, I don't. But most assuredly, I say to you, if you obey my word, you will never taste death. You will never see death. What an incredible promise. And only a promise that the Savior, that the Messiah can make. If anybody else said that, well, what if I said to you today, what if you were visiting here with us today and I stand up and say, listen, I just want you to know that if you obey my words, you will never see death. You would say, time to leave and go to another church. Because this guy's got delusions of grandeur. And so Jesus is telling them who he is. If you obey my words, you will never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Now, you should never ask questions you don't want answered. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are? Who are you making yourself out to be? That's the question that they ask. Now, at this point, Jesus is he's going to tell them who he is, but listen to what he says first. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. In other words, if he told them right then and there, I am God in the flesh. He could have said, I am who was spoken of by Isaiah when he said, I give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, that is God with us. I am who was spoken of by Isaiah when he said, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He could have said, I am who the prophet Malachi spoke of when he said that out of you, O Bethlehem, will come a ruler who will rule my people whose days are of old. Did you ever notice that verse? It not only says that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, but his days are from old. He was pre-existent. Anyone can say that they're God. Right now in the United States, there are thousands of people that have a God delusion. Probably tens of thousands of people and maybe hundreds of thousands of people that have a God delusion. They believe they're God. Shirley MacLaine, I am God, she said. I've had people that have come to the church who have said that they were Jesus Christ. Because they come up to me after the service. Hi, I'm Jesus Christ. I just wanted to say hi. Hello, Jesus, how are you? That's not how I respond, but it's really awkward, right? And so in other words, what Jesus is saying is, if I claim to be God, it doesn't mean anything. Because people can claim to be anything. Anybody can say they're God. He says, it's my Father who honors me. Look at what he says. Look again, his response, verse 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do that I do know him, if I said I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him, and he keeps his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. In other words, if my father honors me, then that's a completely different thing. They should have already believed that Jesus was God in the flesh. He didn't have to say, I am God. Have you ever wondered why Jesus never said that? Jesus never said, I am God. He came very close. We're going to see that today. But he never came out and said it. Why? Because it doesn't mean anything. Anybody can say that. But if the Father told beforehand through the prophets that God would come as the Messiah and he is the Messiah, then God is the one who honored him. And God is the one who tells us whom Jesus is. So Jesus responds. He says at verse 57, excuse me, let's go back to verse 56. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now you realize what Jesus is saying here, right? Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. He's saying that he was alive during the days of Abraham. When did Abraham rejoice to see his days? One of two things, theologians tell us. Either when God promised him that his seed would come and bless all nations, and he rejoiced in that. Or when Jesus himself came and sat at the door of his tent, when the Lord appeared to him, Abraham rejoiced to see his day and saw it. And the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus was 33, by the way. They said, not yet 50. Could it be that he looked older than he was? I don't know. But they say, you're not yet 50. You've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly. Remember I told you 25 times in John, he uses that term, most assuredly. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. You realize what he's saying? Not only that he was pre-existent, before Abraham was, I am, but the term I am is the name of God. When Moses spoke to God in the burning bush and said, who should I say has sent me? God said from the burning bush to Moses, I am that I am has sent you. That's the name Yahweh. I am that I am. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He says, it says in Revelation, I am the great I am. Jesus said when they came to arrest him, Jesus said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. He didn't say, I'm he. He said, I am. And the Bible says when he said that, they fell back on the ground. And Jesus said, who are you looking for? At the announcement of that statement, this is Jesus declaring that he is deity, that he is God in the flesh. And I realize as we talk about this that we get into the area of the Trinity now. And the Trinity is very hard to comprehend and understand. We have nothing like it anywhere else. There's no comparisons. I was talking to a gal after the service last night, and she was asking me about the Trinity. She was like, I don't know, how can Jesus the Son be on earth, and how can the God the Father be in heaven, and how can both of them be God? And I was telling her, well, there's God in three persons, and all three of them, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Messiah, make up God. And a guy that was listening in said, well, can I interject? I said, sure. He said, God's like a pizza. You cut it in three pieces, and it's still one. It's still one pizza. That's true, but that analogy falls short. because God's not a pizza. And when you take a piece of the pizza away from the pizza, it's no longer the pizza, it's a piece of pizza. And when Jesus came, he was still 100% God. And the Father was 100% God, and the Holy Spirit was 100% God. Later on, Jesus would be ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit would come to earth, and the Holy Spirit is 100% God. It's just hard for us to understand. That's for another study. I can't get into it today, okay? That's for another time. That's for another study. But let it be known clearly that when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, that he is making a statement of his divinity. Then in verse 59, they knew this. They took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It wasn't time for him to die yet. And so supernaturally, he passed through the midst of them. They had him, and then they didn't have him. They had him, and then he was gone. Now, in closing, a couple of things. The two misconceptions that we've seen here today. Number one, we are Abraham's descendants. You might have grown up in a good church. It might have been a good, godly church. But that doesn't mean anything if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You might say, I'm Methodist, I'm Lutheran, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Baptist-costal, which is Pentecostal and Baptist together. You could have any kind of spiritual background. It might be right. You could say, I'm a Calvary Chapelite. You could come to this church every weekend for the rest of your life and still not make it into heaven, because going to church doesn't save you. Keith Green, do you remember him? He was a Christian artist in the early Christian music days back in the 70s. Keith Green used to say, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. There's a few others, but I'll leave them out. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. That's what matters. And then you become a descendant of Abraham. Second, you might be a very religious person, but if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't mean anything. A lot of religious people are going to pass away because religion can't save you. It's having that relationship with Christ. These are two misconceptions that we need to understand today, because you don't want to find out that you have those misconceptions after you die. There are a lot of people that think that because they've gone to a good church, they're saved. Or a lot of people who think that because they're religious, they're saved, when in fact, they're not. Make sure you have that very real, powerful, profound, deep relationship with Jesus Christ. It simply takes you saying, Lord, forgive me, come into my life, and make me born again. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for all you're doing. We thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us with this truth, with this understanding, that we would not have misconceptions in our lives. What a powerful statement of Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. And Lord, we are so thankful that we can receive Jesus, even as Abraham did, and that we can become the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Maybe not physical, but spiritual, because he believed and it was accounted righteousness. And we believe, Lord, that it would be accounted righteous to us as well. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.